Desire your prayers. The Lord will bless us one more time today. Bless his word. I was thinking, listening to the prayer, all the good things that the Lord does for us, his care and his concern. You know, anything that we need him to do, he's already made it possible and available to us. He's already done his part. I was thinking of the what we call the Sermon on the Mount. The Lord said something there about seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I believe the Lord wants us to seek him, to seek the things of God, because it's what we lay up in store for the days that are before us, Paul said, that will give us the power and the grace that we need to overcome. Surely we want to be overcomers. Traveling this past week, couple weeks, I look at that big old airplane and think of all the things that are involved in it. An airplane is just a means of transportation to get us from one point to another. But there's a lot of things that go into that, things that are important. Just like automobiles, you know, they have to have fuel, they have to have oil. Things have to be maintained in order to keep them running right. Well, we have a body that's a vehicle to get us through this world that we live in. We've got to maintain it and keep it with proper nourishment. Needs a lot of rest. Needs a lot of maintenance. Take care of our bodies, just like the mechanical things that we use for transportation. There's another part of us, and it's our souls. That's the vehicle that we have, if I can use the word vehicle. That's what we have through which we will spend eternity, is our souls. Well, how valuable is that? I'd like to speak about a few things that I feel like are very valuable to us, and that you and I ought to consider valuable. You know, when you have something that's valuable, sometimes you lock it up so the thief can't break in and steal. That's what the Lord told us to do. To set our affections in heaven, didn't he? Where the thief can't break through and steal, and moth and dust and moth can't corrupt it. But the Lord's given us some incorruptible things, things that pertain to life and godliness. I'd like to read over in 2 Peter, the first chapter. Remind us of some scripture here that the Lord has given us, and how important and how valuable these things are. Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, that's 2 Peter 1. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, we all have something in common here this afternoon. We all have like precious faith. We all have a heart after God's own heart. We all have a heart after the truth. And we have obtained and received like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for that faith this afternoon. I appreciate knowing the truth. Sometimes when I'm especially coming to service, I'll pass places, church houses where people are gathering, and my heart goes out to them. I feel sorry for them. People that go and are willing to accept half of it and not desiring to get a hold of all of it. I think that's probably why people live such shallow lives anymore. Lord, help us, you and I. We have something very special that's valuable. And it is meant to help us to live a deeper life, a deeper walk with the Lord, and not be shallow in what we know and understand and in the things that we give to the Lord. Peter went on to say, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. His divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. I'm so thankful for that this afternoon. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, didn't he? He said, it's the power of God unto salvation to those that believe. And I'm thankful for the gospel of Christ today. I'm thankful for the divine power that's given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. I don't believe the Lord has hid anything from you and me that we might need along our journey of life. I believe it is His desire, His purpose, His intention to help you and I make heaven. And whatever it is that we have to deal with and face in life, I believe that is His desire, His purpose for coming into the world. And He's given us everything we need that pertains to life and how to live godly here in this present world that we live in today. This is a preparation time for every one of us. Jesus told the disciples, He said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. Well, that place is prepared for us, but folks, you and I have a preparation time. Even though we look around, we don't see the multitudes, seem like there's not very many people that are really sincere, really concerned about their souls, just kind of halfway going at their spiritual life. I'm thankful this afternoon for those that have a desire for those things that pertain unto life and that pertain unto godliness here in this world. He said, whereby are given unto us because of this. There are some things that has been given to you and I, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You and I are permitted this afternoon to have a divine nature, to take on the nature of Christ Himself, the man of God, the Son of God that came into the world and humbled Himself unto the death of the cross. You and I are privileged this afternoon to take on that same divine nature that He had, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And then He went on to tell us a few things about this nature of Christ and things that you and I are to add on to the life that we live. And He said, and beside this, giving all diligence. May the Lord help us as time dwindles down, as there seems to be fewer and fewer that really desire and hunger this for this truth, Lord. May the Lord help us, you and I, to be faithful, to pray and ask the Lord for the desire. Lord, don't let me lose that desire. Don't let me lose that purpose. Don't let me lose that intent, because I surely want to make heaven my home. And He said, giving all diligence, be diligent in your life and everything that you do, in the decisions that you make. Always put God in your decisions. Always consider Him in everything that you do, and all that we get involved with in life, that we always put Him first, put our souls first, giving diligence, He said. And we want to add diligence to our life and add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. I want to kind of speak to just a few of these this afternoon. Giving all diligence, add to your faith. I want to look at faith this afternoon as areas of growth after you're saved. Add to the areas of growth after salvation, after you're saved. And besides this, add to your faith Folks, faith is of utmost importance to you and I. Faith is the evidence of things hope. The evidence of things hoped for. No. The evidence of things not seen. Thank you, brother. Faith is of utmost value to you and I. It got many, many others through successfully in this world. May the Lord inspire our faith and encourage our hearts. There are places, there are challenges that you and I face today. We're under attack by the enemy, and our faith is one of them. Our faith and the Holy Spirit and our love for God, it's all under attack today. The devil wants to destroy that, and he brings in the world, and he brings in things, and he gets our minds cluttered with all kind of things, if he can do it, in order to take away that love and that desire out of our heart. But he's telling us here this afternoon to add some things to our experience with the Lord. Add to your faith, virtue, the areas of growth after you get saved. And virtue is a moral excellence. Folks, the morals of our country and our world today is just depraved, isn't it? It's so depraved. People don't have good morals today. They're not upstanding in the way that they conduct themselves, in the way that they present themselves, in the way that they deal with one another. May the Lord help you and I, folks. We're responsible for some things. And our morals is one of them, a moral virtue. Or a moral excellence in the life that you and I live before God. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, he said, add knowledge. Knowledge. I want to call that spiritual truth this afternoon. Spiritual truth. There's a lot of truths out there, but there's only one truth. There's only one truth, folks, that will get you and I, my soul, this vehicle that I have that's going to eternity, there's only one truth, and we know what it is this afternoon, don't we? Jesus said, I'm the way, and I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And so he said here, and to virtue, knowledge, spiritual truth. Then he went on to say, and to knowledge, temperance. Temperance. That's self-control in everything that you do. Decisions that you make. How you handle the tongue. How you handle where you go, what you do with your life. Self-controlled, or to have temperance. Add these things to your life. Add these things to your walk with the Lord. And he said, unto temperance, patience. Patience here represents endurance. Lord, help me to have patience to endure. When those things come along that I'm struggling with, give me enduring patience, that I might be faithful to stay at my post of duty. And he said, to knowledge, temperance, to patience, to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. The Lord wants you and I to be like him, doesn't he? Godliness. You ever had someone come along and tell you, you don't have to dress like that. You don't have to live that way. You don't have to stay out of those places. You know, the Lord wants us to be happy. The Lord wants us to enjoy life. I believe that's true. But I don't believe the world is part of that. The Bible tells us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. I don't believe the world is should be part of our happiness. God is our happiness. Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. And he is my happiness this afternoon. And he said, to patience, godliness, to be like God, to be like him, striving to ever be more like Christ. I like that song in our book, 460, that a blind woman wrote, that says, more like Christ. More like Christ. Savior more than life to me. Folks, he's more than life to me. He's eternal life. He's life forever. And I want to be more like him. I want to add that in my life. These are things that we can work on, isn't it? These are things that we can bring before the Lord and say, Lord, you see how I struggle with this. Lord, you see how I struggle with that. Lord, I want you to add this to my life. I want to be more like you. I want to be able to lift you up. I want to be able to exalt you in everything that I do. And we can do that on the job. We can do that during our daily walk with the Lord. We can do that in the schools and in the wherever we are, in the home. We can lift him up in everything that we do. To patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness is simply put, brotherly love, folks. Brotherly love for one another. Add these things to our lives. Brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Volitional love, voluntarily. We don't love God. I don't love God this afternoon because I have to. I love him because he died for me. Because I want to. When you love someone, you want to please them. You want to do everything that you do. You don't want to hurt them. Someone that you can trust. Someone you can put your all in all in. Brotherly love. Charity is volitional love. All of this represents a lifelong cycle of spiritual growth, growing in the Lord daily. Now listen to what Peter said. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how you pray. We all pray differently. But I tell you, I ask the Lord for these things in my life. It said, if they abound, they'll make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of God. Oh, I just hunger and thirst. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, Jesus said, for they shall be filled. And I want to be filled with more. I know there's a lot that I don't understand. There's a lot that I don't know, and I want to know more about him. I want to experience that intimacy with him. That relationship with him, that he understands me and I understand him, and that I'm doing everything to my knowledge and to my understanding. I'm doing everything I can to please him and honor him with my life. That's the way I want to live my life. That's the way I want to walk before the Lord. But he said, he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Folks, sometimes we look around today, we see people getting careless with their souls and doing things that they maybe didn't once used to do. We see things changing. We live in a changing world. But may the Lord help you and I that we won't let the devil change us. But we'll always have a sharp, sensitive desire to please the Lord, to walk holy and humbly before him. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. The question has arose about this morning in Sunday school. There's some people say you don't backslide. You just sin a little more or less every day. That's not what the Bible teaches, folks. We can backslide. We can lose what the Lord has given us. So we got to fight for this thing. Jesus, I believe, said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent must take it by force. I know we're not violent people. I know we don't fight literally with our hands. But folks, we're fighting for something greater than what's in this world. We're fighting for eternal life. And we're fighting with all of our might and with all of our strength. Now these things here, it says that his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. What was it the fellow in the book said? Life, life, eternal life. And I want to seek and search for that with all of my heart. Life, life, eternal life. While we live in our bodies, folks, we must learn. Sometimes there's things that we just have to learn. Some people have things that just automatically a part of their nature. Some things I've had to learn that other people may not have to learn, but I want to learn to put on the divine nature of Christ as I prepare for my eternal soul in eternity someday. I want to prepare for that thing. I want to take care of that while I have time and opportunity. Let's look at another scripture now that Jesus is speaking to us. Found in Matthew, the 16th chapter, he was talking, had been talking to the disciples. He asked them the question, who do you say that I am? In the 16th chapter of Matthew, he went on down towards the end, and he said, verse 24, unto his disciples, if any man will come after me. Oh, I want to come after the Lord today. I want to give up my claims on self, on myself. And let me lose myself, the song says, and find it, Lord, in thee. May all self be slain, my friends, see only thee. Let me lose myself. Let me lose who I am. And let me put on Christ. Paul tells us to put on Christ, to be made new creatures in Christ. Put him on. Wear him every day in our lives, that he may be glorified and lifted up. If any man is going to follow me or come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Lord, help me to do that, to lift up the cross, to be willing to deny myself, to be willing to be partakers of the divine nature of Christ himself in my life. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Folks, it seems that that's one of the biggest struggles in people trying to live for the Lord, is they want to hold on to their own identity. They want to hold on to their own identity, to their own self. But I've got to lose myself. I still can hear the dear sister in California years ago at a camp meeting. She said the Lord was working on me, and he told me to get rid of this, and he told me to get rid of that. And she said, I finally said, Lord, if you take away everything, there won't be nothing of me left. She said she stopped and realized that's exactly what the Lord wants. If we can comprehend that, if we can grasp that thought of letting the Lord cut off everything that would hinder him being lifted up in our lives. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Folks, if my life is so important to me that I'm going to do everything I can to save my life, I'm going to lose it over there. I'm going to lose it in eternity when the judgment comes. But I want to put on the life of Christ. I want him to be lifted up. Because whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Oh, I know that life is precious. I love life. I enjoy life. I enjoy living. It's getting a little harder anymore. But I still enjoy life. But folks, I want to look beyond this veil of here, this veil of tears. I want to look beyond this old world that is just falling down pretty much around us today. I want to look beyond all that, and I want to see a life full of glory, a life full of eternal happiness and beauty and joy and being in the presence of God. I want to look beyond that, and I want to see this life that God has for each and every one of us. What is a man profited if he should gain the whole world? Folks, it is valuable to you and I today, this afternoon, that we get rid of self as much as we possibly can. If you want to be my disciple, Jesus said, you're going to disciple. The word disciple comes from discipline. You're going to have to discipline yourself. You're going to have to bring this body under, bring it into subjection, Paul said, that we might be able to lift up Christ. We can't do it within ourselves. We don't have, he said, he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. It all comes from him, doesn't it? And that's what every one of us desire this afternoon. What is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Lord, help us this afternoon. This is a question that we all must ask ourselves. As we endeavor to hold on to things, I think about that young man so much. When he came to the Lord and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Oh, folks, there isn't anything we can do. We need all those things that he has given us that pertains to life and godliness. And we need to add them to our lives. The Lord said, keep the commandments. Well, I've done all that. But folks, it's not just about morals. He said, well, then come and sell all that you've got and take up your cross and follow me. And he wasn't willing to do it. There are so many today, it seems, that are not willing to sell all they got. You know, when I got saved, and after the Lord finished talking to me and dealing with me, folks, I realized that I can't let anything. I can't come up to no roadblock and let that stop me. I can't come up to something that my heart has had affection for down through the years and let that stop me. I've got to give it all up because I'm running this race to go all the way to make heaven my home. But we can purpose in our heart sometimes. What are you going to let stop you? We come up to some hard and difficult places. The Lord puts his hand on it and says, I want that. What are you going to do about that? When the Lord says that he wants it, my suggestion and my counsel this afternoon is you give it to him. Because it's all about giving up this old world to follow Christ. What is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Folks, there isn't anything here, is there? There isn't anything here worth your soul. Worth what would keep you from enjoying the blessings and of eternal glory in the presence of God Almighty. There isn't anything here that would be worth for you and I to hold on to. But you know, the enemy comes and he presents himself in all kinds of different ways. He makes the way of the world attractive to many people. He makes the temptations really, they reach out and entice you in your weakest moment or the weakest part of your character or your makeup. He knows how to make his appeal to those kind of things. But I remind you again this afternoon, he cannot make his appeal to your heart. He makes it to the flesh, doesn't he? The enemy always comes and makes his appeal to the flesh, the world. What's it going to profit you if you keep your flesh? If you gain the whole world, you're going to lose your soul. What's it going to profit then? This life is so temporary. It's so temporary, it'll be over before we know it. And yet we hold on to it as hard as we can. We hold on to it, don't we? We need to start seeing things that are eternal, folks. Not this temporary life that's going to fade away. Let's look around us this afternoon. There isn't any real young people here. We're all seeing that our bodies are getting weaker. Things are fading. Things are not like they used to be in our bodies and in our lives. We realize more and more it's just temporary. We're just living tents, don't we? Tents that we're going to lay down someday. Tents that are so temporary in this life. Let's look at another scripture. I'm going to move on here. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, 22nd verse. He's got some more counsel for us. He said that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. See, there's things that we have to put off. We all do. We all have to put some things off concerning the former life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's how we want our life to be. That's the kind of example the Lord wants you and I to be, that we'll put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Our righteousness is what? It's filthy rags, isn't it? But which after God, he said, is created in righteousness and true holiness. Oh, that foreign word today, holiness. People don't know what that is today. They don't hear it anymore. They don't hear it out there in the sectism world. They don't hear it out there in the religious world. But there's still holiness that is required from God's people. Put it on. Put these things on. And he said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And folks, the mind is very important because that's the battleground that the enemy comes and fights with you. That's where he presents himself. And the thoughts that he wants to present to you is right in the mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind that you might be able to overcome and put this old world aside and take up your cross and follow him. Move on to another scripture. It's found in 1 John. 1 John, the 3rd chapter. And the 1 John 3 and 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. What a calling. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Folks, when you take the way of the cross, you're going to be misunderstood. People are going to look at you maybe a little strange. And people are not going to understand why you do what you do, why you live the way you live, why you don't go to the doctors, why you're trusting God. People aren't going to understand those kind of things. But he said, therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Didn't Jesus tell us in one place? He said, the world will hate you because the world hates me. Folks, I'm not trying to please the world. I'm not trying to lift up the world. I'm trying to lift up Christ in my life. Lord, help me to put on the things that pertain unto life and to godliness, that patience, that temperance, that knowledge, that virtue, that godliness, those things that Peter described over there. He said, beloved, second verse, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know. We have an assurity. We know this afternoon that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Oh, don't you long for that day, folks? The older I get, the more I long for it. The more sorrow that I have in this world, the more aches and pains that I have in this world, the more distresses and stress that I have to deal with in this world, I long for that time. He said, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Scripture says all eyes will behold him, doesn't it? We're all going to see him one of these days. Isn't it going to be wonderful, folks, if we're faithful to the end, that when we see him, we'll see him in all of his glory with peace resting upon our souls? Isn't that wonderful? It's a wonderful thought to me to know that even though every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, that I can meet him in peace because I prepared here in this time's world. I put on the things that pertain unto eternal life and things that pertain unto godliness. Lord, help us to do that today. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. He went on to say, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Folks, we don't have to sin, but we can live a holy and a godly life. The Bible, Paul said, the grace of God to bring salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us the things that pertain unto godliness, to live sober, righteous, and godly in this present world. Oh, I know that it's so foreign, but it's still in the Bible. It's still a requirement of you and I that want to follow the Lord. Those of us that are of like precious faith, folks, it is a requirement that we live that way, regardless of what others do. The song says, I can't help what others do. I must go on. I can't help what my companion does. I can't help what my children do. You know, today it's tolerance, tolerance, tolerance. They want us to tolerate these things. They want us to tolerate homosexuality. They want us to tolerate people shacking up in homes. They want us to tolerate those kind of things. Many other things that could be mentioned. They want you and I to tolerate that. I even had one say, and you call yourself a Christian and you come against those kind of things. Lord, help us today. What kind of mindset are people getting? because they want to fit in. They want to fit in. They want to belong. We all have a sense of wanting to belong. We all want to belong. I want to belong to the household of faith. That's where I want to belong. That's where I want to fit in. I may be a little different. I may be misunderstood. The world knoweth us not because it knew him not, the writer says. Folks, we're different. If you're saved this afternoon, you're weird according to the world. You're the oddball according to the world. Let them call me whatever they want. Let them call me whatever they want, folks. I just want to be ready to meet God in peace. And I want to forsake this old world and I want to follow Christ. And it's going to take His grace and it's going to take His strength every day to do it. Another verse found over here in the book of Romans. Romans the 8th chapter and the 18th verse. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Folks, look beyond this world. Look beyond what this world offers. I suppose that the sufferings of this present time, folks, whatever we gotta suffer, whatever we gotta deal with, are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Oh, when that great and glorious day of all days come, and think about a scripture to go with that in 1 Peter 5 and 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. I love that verse of scripture, folks. After you've suffered a while, he will bring a spiritual soundness to your walk with him. A spiritual soundness. He'll make you solid citizen of the kingdom of glory. After you've suffered a while. Yes, Jesus suffered. You and I that take up the cross, we're going to suffer too. But I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. All of us here have taken vacations, I'm sure. Traveled here and there and done things. I want to tell you something. We've had lots of vacations. Taken lots of trips. I've been in all 50 states, been over in Europe, been in Honduras. You know what I've learned in traveling? I learned that just preparing for it, looking forward to it, got me a little excited when I was younger. Just getting ready for it, packing and all those kind of things, get you excited for the trip. Folks, I'm excited for the trip this afternoon. One of these days, these old eyes are going to close and this old body's going back to the earth from which it came. And this soul, this vehicle that God has given me is going to eternity. And by the grace of God, folks, I intend to see that it goes to heaven. The sufferings of this present time, folks, is not worthy. Whatever I gotta suffer, whatever I gotta go through with, folks, by the grace of God, it will bring a spiritual maturity, a spiritual soundness. It will bring growth in me spiritually that I can put on the mind of Christ and be faithful to Him and to my own soul. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Folks, you see what is waiting for you and I? You see what is before you and I? Lord, help us to be faithful to go all the way till we get every bit of it that God has for us. I want it all. You call me greedy, call me anything you want to. I want it all. I want everything He's got for my blessed soul, folks. I only have one opportunity in this life, and I pray God to help me. Help us all to be faithful to our souls. Sometimes we get involved in things in life and we feel that this is important and that's important, prioritize. Let me tell you, prioritize your life. Be sure that you're putting the important things first. And it's not the things of the world, but it's the things of your soul. Yes. Every decision you make, make it for your soul, folks. Have your soul in mind. Every decision that you make. I want to read another one. I'm wearing out up here, so I hope you forgive me. I'll read another scripture. Folks, I have a bright anticipation this afternoon. It's bright. It's not dim and it's not cloudy. But I have a hope and an anticipation in Christ that's bright. And my hope that I have right now looks to the moment that I live in today. That I live today by the grace of God and by the power of God working in my life. That's my hope today in Jesus Christ is of an eternal life with Him in glory. Let's look at another scripture in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. I like this one real well. Second Corinthians 4 and 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. Do you want the glory of God upon your life? You want His approval upon your life? For which cause we faint not. But though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And you say amen to that, Sister Betty? Amen, folks. The inward man is renewed day by day. The outward man may perish, and it will perish. But the inward man, it's you can keep that up to date. You can keep that young. You can keep it lively. And you can keep it ready to meet God. Yet the inward man is renewed. That's what the Lord wants to come. Doesn't He meet us every day? When we get up in the morning, we get down and we have our devotions before the Lord and we read His word and we have our prayer. The inward man, it's for the inward man to be renewed and restored and rejuvenated and ready to face another day, ready to conquer the enemy and everything that he throws our way. The inward man, renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. It's just a moment. Oh, but Brother Larry, you don't know how long I've had this affliction. You don't know how long I've been going through this. Folks, this is temporary. Time is nothing compared to eternity. Remember the little message Lord gave us several months back when I had the rope up here? And the little red line about 2 inches long, representing life. And the rest of it representing eternity. Folk, life is really pretty short compared to eternity, isn't it? And Paul said, our light affliction is but for a moment. Do you suppose he thought it was a light affliction when he was in prison? When they were beating him with rods and with whips? Do you suppose he counted that a light affliction? When he was in perils of his own life, perils of the countrymen, perils of the brethren, when he was going through all those things, had to let him down by a basket to get away from them because they wanted to kill him. Our light affliction. Oh Lord, help me to have the vision that Paul had. To realize whatever it is that I have to face and deal with, it's only for a moment. It says it's but a moment. Worketh for us, but it's doing something for us, folks. Those things that we have to deal with, those sufferings of this present time, Paul said, I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared. It says, it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Just think about it, folks. When you get there and you're over on eternity side and you're in the presence of God, folks, we can just breathe a big sigh of relief. It's over. No more enemy. No more sorrow. No more heartaches. None of those things. We won't even pray over there because we'll be in the presence of God. We'll praise Him. But we won't need to pray and ask God to bless people and bless me. But we'll be in the presence of God. Far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. I pray God will bless that on your mind and on your hearts, that you'll feel, that you'll see and experience in your own heart that eternal weight of glory that is waiting for you. If we'll just be faithful, just hold on for a little while longer. Just came to my mind, I'd like to tell this before I close. While I was in California, I called Brother Lawrence Taylor. I don't know if any of you know him or not. Brother and Sister Taylor, they're up in years. His wife, her name's in the front of our songbook. She happened to be working at the Faith Publishing House when they were making up the songs book. Her name is, well, then was Ruth Byers. She's now Sister Taylor. And I called him. I said, can I come over and visit you just for a little bit? Don't come to California all that often. When I got over there, he said, absolutely. I said, I'd like to have a hug. He said, I'd like to have a couple of those. So we got over there and we visited for a little while. She'll be 90 in July. I think he's right behind her. So they're well up in years. They've followed this truth for many years, folks. And they've been faithful, but as far as I know. And I love them both dearly. Stayed in their home. My wife and I have stayed in their home. And I said, Brother Lawrence, Brother Brian, Sister Sherry was there. I said, tell these folks about your dishwasher. He said, oh, Brother Abbott. I said, tell them about your dishwasher. His wife had gone away, and while she was gone, he'd use a dish, just throw it and put it in the sink, spoon, fork, whatever. And he had a pile of dishes, and I guess she called and said she'd be coming home tomorrow. So he went and he filled up the dishwasher, put everything in the dishwasher, and he put some dishwashing soap in it, a little more, I guess, than he should have. He said he turned it on, the thing ran its cycle. When he came back in the kitchen, he said he had a pile of suds. I think his hand went about this high from the floor in front of the dishwasher. And he said, well, I can take care of that. So he went and got a shop vac. And he's vacuuming all those suds up. When he got done, he turned around and all the suds had come out of the other end of the shop vac. And he just moved the pile from the dishwasher over here. Well, he eventually got it all cleaned up before she got home. She was in the house. She walked in the kitchen. She looked at the white spot on the front of the floor in front of the dishwasher. Said, did you have a problem, honey? I looked at him. I was sitting right beside him, Brother Lawrence. He and I go back a few years. And I said, Brother Lawrence, the Lord told the children of Israel, be sure your sins will find you out. And he said, thanks a lot, Brother Larry. You got any more scripture for me? So we sat there and visited a little bit. Was getting ready to close out the visit, and I wanted to have prayer with him. And I said, Brother Lawrence, I got one more scripture for you. The Lord said, I'll be with you always. They're up in years. May not get to see them again. But I said, the Lord said, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world. And he thanked me for that one too. He really meant that one. And we had prayer together. Our light affection, they're just for a moment. There's things happen that are comical in life. There's struggles that come along and those kind of things. But folks, this is the best life there is. This is the best life there is. I've lived in the world, I know. This is the best life there is, to live for God. while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. Where are we looking today? Where are you looking? The devil wants you to look at the things that are seen. But he said, for the things that are seen are temporal. They're going to pass away. They're fuel for the burning, if you will. Don't look at the things that are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's where our faith comes in, isn't it? That's where our faith comes in. I don't see it, God, but I know it's in your hands because your promises. Then we start out over there. Peter said, given to us exceeding great and precious promises. Your promise is that you'll be with me always, even to the end. Something comes that I can't handle. You'll handle it. And you'll take care of it. While we look not at the things that are seen, folks, keep your focus. Keep your focus on Jesus. He came to be your helper, to be your strength, not just your redeemer, which is the most important of all, but he's there to help you with every part of your life, every aspect of your life. Don't look at the things that are seen because they're temporal. Paul said, look at the things which are not seen. They're the eternal things. They're the eternal things. May the Lord help us this afternoon.